You're listening to a sermon from Plus Life, a church that exists to see lives changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our prayer is that you will be stirred in your heart and renewed in your mind as you hear the preaching of God's word today.
Well, good evening, Plus Life. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 for tonight's sermon. You know, I thank God that he's just been so gracious in teaching us these past several weeks from the Old Testament as we were in our Waken series, right, on Malachi. However, tonight we're going to be going in a little bit of a different direction. We're going to be listening to a standalone sermon, and we're going to be taking a look at a topic that I think we all have trouble with. With summer here and all the beautiful hot weather that we're getting, it's very easy to just become busy and distracted with plans. Plans with your family, plans with your friends, right? To have a barbecue or to go to a picnic or to go out and do this and do that. Lifting up some of the restrictions, and you can become super busy to the point where you begin to lose focus on what's important. Not to say that your family isn't important and your friends aren't important, of course they are, but what I'm referring to here is we begin to lose our spiritual focus. Things start slowly competing for the priorities in our lives, and all of a sudden we aren't spending as much time in God's presence. We're not praying or we're not in his word, and all of a sudden, the relationships we have start competing with the relationship that we have with our Savior. And this is problematic for the Christian. You know, I know I'm guilty of this too. In a day and age where we are constantly bombarded with social media news feeds, Instagram stories, Snapchats, right? TikTok videos, YouTube, WhatsApp messages, and especially during this time where people are spending more time at home binge watching shows on Netflix and Disney Plus, in the midst of all of this, when do we have time for God? We are constantly distracted with this or that, and at the end of the day, very little is actually accomplished. With people working from home now, right, due to these times that we're living in, work time begins to bleed into personal time. And so even now, work can become a distraction from God. Paul, in our passage tonight, is writing to the church in Philippi about staying focused on the goal as a Christian. And so my desire tonight is to show you from God's word what we as Christians are called to stay focused on. And so that's why I've titled my sermon tonight, Staying Focused. Staying focused. So I trust that you have your Bibles. Let's read Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to be reading from verses 10 to 21. Philippians chapter 3.
That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly and their glory in their shame, with the mindset on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. The word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that once again we can hold your very word, what you've preserved and what you've protected, so that we can understand
who we are and what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. Lord, as we look to your word tonight, would you give us ears to hear and minds to understand it? And then, Lord, through the power and the working of your spirit, would you give us hearts to passionately live these things out for your fame and for your glory? God, that we would not just be hearers of your word, but doers of your word. And then, Lord, we pray for the one tuning in tonight that hasn't put their faith and trust in you. I pray that tonight be the night. Would you show them who Jesus Christ is? Would you give them the eyes to see who Jesus is? And then, Lord, as fellow believers in Christ, would you give us focus, God? Help us to stay focused on you. Help us to develop healthy habits, spiritual habits, God. Lord, we pray that we wouldn't be distracted by the things of this world, but that we would understand and prioritize our time with you. God, we ask all these things knowing that you go before us and that you'll have your way. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen and amen. Well, our passage tonight gives us a focus for our life, a spiritual focus. Paul says in this passage, this one thing I do, not 100 things I start or 12 things I attempt, but he says this one thing I do. Paul is putting all his energy into this one thing, pressing towards the mark. You see, I struggle with that concept. I get involved at times in too many projects, and then at the end, I end up doing less than you know what I had set on. There's a proverb that says, "He who begins too much accomplishes little." And perhaps you have also had trouble living the focused life. And if so, I think a study of Paul's focused life will help all of us. No one abandons God because they value him little. It's because they value something else more. One of the obvious reasons that Paul wrote his letter to the Philippians was to thank them, right, for their generous offering. He also wanted to inform them of his love for them and his own personal condition. Paul also warned them that they would be suffering for the gospel of Christ and that they should be aware and guarded against false doctrines creeping into the church. Throughout this letter, Paul's joy and love for them clearly shows. And so here is Paul towards the end of this letter, encouraging the Philippians to stay focused towards the goal. Before we get into what this passage tells us about what we should stay focused on, I want to provide you with a little bit of context here, because you might be asking yourself, what's this goal that Paul is referring to? The goal here is the goal of resurrection life. Jesus not only died, but he rose again. Christianity isn't just a message of merely what has and what will be. It's the message of what is. If we don't understand how the historical event of Jesus' resurrection connects to the living reality of Jesus Christ in us by the indwelling of his Holy Spirit, then we don't understand the gospel. The resurrection defines the Christian faith. 1 Peter 1:3 states that God, according to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We receive Christ's resurrection life by faith. The resurrection is the basis of everything that can be legitimately called Christian. It is only by the indwelling activity of the risen Lord Jesus Christ that we have the dynamic life of Christ. Apart from the resurrection, there is no gospel, no spiritual life, no salvation, no righteousness, no holiness, no hope, and no godliness. Apart from the resurrection, there is no Christian living. All of God's promises and man's expectations are realized in the resurrection life of Jesus in us. So with that understood, I want to answer for you, what does this passage tell us to stay focused on? Number one, it tells us to stay focused on Christ. Stay focused on Christ. Our passage says in verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. You see, this was the simple plea of Paul's heart, and it was a plea unknown to the legalist, the person who works for their salvation. You see, the legalist focuses on their own performance and status to find some kind of peace with God, but Paul wanted Jesus, not himself. You see, to know Jesus is not the same as knowing his historical life. It's not the same as knowing all the correct teachings about Jesus or the doctrines about them. It's not the same as knowing his moral example, and it's not the same as knowing his great work on our behalf. We can say that we know someone because we recognize them, right? Because we distinguish what's different about them compared to other people. We can say that we know someone because we're familiar with what they do, right? We know the Amazon delivery person that delivers our packages because they do that. We can say that we know someone because we actually have conversations with them, you know, that we're on speaking terms with that person. We can say that we know someone because we spend time in their house and with their family. We can say that we know someone like a spouse because we have committed our life to them and live with them every single day, sharing every circumstance. Yet beyond all of this, there is a way of knowing Jesus Christ that includes all these things and yet goes beyond them. And so our passage says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. You see, knowing Jesus means knowing this power, the new life that is imparted to us now, not when we die. He wants to know in an experiential way the power of Christ's resurrection. That is, he wants to experience the same power that raised Christ from the dead, surging through his own being, overcoming sin in his life, and producing the Christian graces. What's the power of resurrection, you may ask? The power of his resurrection is an evidencing power. It's a justifying power. It's a receipt and proof that the sacrifice of the cross was the evidence and the seal that everything that Jesus did and said was true. It proves that. The power of his resurrection is an all-life-giving power. It connects us to his resurrection life. The power of his resurrection is a consoling and comforting power. It promises that our friends and loved ones who are dead in Christ live with him. Knowing Jesus also means knowing this fellowship of his sufferings, it says in our passage. It is all a part of following Jesus and being Christ. We can say that suffering is part of our heritage as the children of God. You know, we get to be part of the family of suffering. Romans 8:17 says, if children then heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. You see, being in Christ also means being in his death. These words have particular relevance to Paul, who faced experiences that threatened his life. Paul was not just focused on suffering and death in the Christian life. He saw that they were necessary. It was a necessary way to the goal of resurrection life right now and the ultimate resurrection from the dead. This was the goal that was worth any means to Paul. The suffering was worth it, considering the greatness of the goal of the resurrection from the dead. Paul didn't doubt that he was saved, but he did long mightily for the completion of his salvation through the resurrection of his body. It was something that he had not yet attained, and something that he longed for. Remember that Paul wrote this having experienced more suffering than we will ever experience. And he wrote it from the custody. He was in chains. He was in custody of the Roman soldiers. And this wasn't just a theological theory and ideas, but it was a lived out connection with God. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So even though Paul wrote that in Galatians, right, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. At the same time, he felt the need for a constant renewal of strength and power. I love that passage because it suggests letting go of the reins of your life and fully trusting in Jesus Christ. When Christ lives in you, you're no longer living for yourself. You're no longer working just to collect a paycheck or making friendships that benefit your needs, your selfish desires. You begin looking for opportunities at work to show God that working in your life, to have conversations with your coworkers that glorify him. You begin sharing in the benefit of Christ's love in your friendships. It takes the focus off of you and puts the focus on Christ where it belongs. So focus on Christ. Moving on in our passage, right? Starting from verse 12, it says, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on and make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Verse 14, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So again, what must we focus on? Number two, stay focused on the prize. Stay focused on the prize. The prize here is referred to as the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So what does that mean? The prize is actually the call itself. It's not the benefits that come from the call or any other thing. The prize is being able to run the race at all. Working with God as a partner to do the work of his kingdom. Paul writes here from such spiritual maturity and purity so that you would see that he believed that he had conquered all spiritual difficulties and saw himself as having arrived at near perfection. But he assures us that that isn't the case because there was no perfectionism in Paul. And sadly, this is common among Christian leaders that cultivate this attitude that, you know, we've already attained everything. Without saying the words, they put forth this image of constant triumph over sin that gives the idea that they have already attained and are already perfect. You see, but that isn't the case. We are to always grow in our faith. While the work of Christ for us is perfect, the work of the Holy Spirit in us is not perfect. It is continually carried on from day to day and will need to be continued throughout our entire lives. Paul's work effort was ruthless and he never looked back. He continued to press on. Luke 9:62 says, Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Paul is exemplifying this right here. He pressed on for what Jesus wanted. His effort was put forth to do God's will, not his own. Paul begins this verse with the idea that Jesus has laid hold of him. This is an important idea, yet some Christians react to this idea by being passive. They think Jesus has a hold of me, so that's it now. I'm a Christian and I'm going to heaven. But Paul showed a different attitude. He was determined to lay hold for that of which Jesus had laid hold of him. Paul was focused on one thing and would not let those things which are behind distract him from it. He pressed on for the prize. We often let those things which are behind distract us, whether they be good or whether they be bad things. Looking at what is in the past often keeps us from what God has for us in the future. It's a deception to live either in the past or in the future, because God wants us to press on in the present, because the present is where eternity touches now. Paul knew that a race is only in the present moment, not in the past, not in the future. So you might be asking, what is the prize in our passage referring to, right? The prize is the upward call. It's the call itself. It's not the benefits that come from the call or any other thing. And you might think to yourself, hey, that's not much of a prize. To Paul, it was everything. And to us, it should be everything. The prize is being able to run the race, right? Working with God as a partner to do work in his kingdom. It's an opportunity. It's a privilege. It's a high calling because it comes from above, from God. It comes from the heart of God. It is a high calling because it is worthy of God. It is a calling because it's so much above our ways. His ways are higher than our ways. It calls us to where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Because it's such a glorious call, it's worth us reaching forward for it. The Greek word points out the strong exertions in the race. Every muscle, every nerve is exerted and is put forth in the strength for running the race. For running the race. As everything else, this upward call of God is only in Christ Jesus, right? The legalists might say that they followed the upward call of God, but they certainly didn't do that in Jesus Christ. Instead, they did it in the efforts of their own flesh. We might stay focused. I pray that we would stay focused, church, on our call. Continuing on in our passage, in verse 15, it says, let those of us who are mature think this way, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. So what must we focus on? It says, let those of us. It says, only let us hold true. It says, brothers, join in. It says, walk according to the example you have in us. You see, Paul isn't using the words me, myself, and I anymore. He's shifted to us. So yes, stay focused on Christ. Stay focused on the prize. But number three, stay focused on others. Stay focused on others. Paul wants everyone to have the attitude that he is describing here. Those who are mature in Christ will have this in mind. If they don't, Paul trusted that God would reveal the importance of having it. Paul had great trust in the ability of the Lord to deal with his own people. He didn't have the attitude that if he failed to convince them then they would never be convinced. But Paul instead, he wouldn't allow a lack of understanding to excuse anyone from doing what he knew would be the Lord's will. So what we don't know can never excuse us from failing to fulfill what we do know. Part of what we do know is being of the same mind. This is called unity, right, church? If we look at Philippians 2, verse 1 to 2, so if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. The problem of unity facing the Philippians didn't just spring from great problems with the flesh, as you know, the Corinthians had experienced. Rather, it was this danger brought on by the pressure, both from the outside and from the inside. Paul wanted to make sure that this pressure pushed them together instead of driving them apart. Verse 17 says, join in imitating Paul. We shouldn't think here that Paul is trying to be egotistical here, saying, oh, look at me. You know, he knew that he wasn't a sinless or perfect example, yet he was still a good example. In fact, he refers to himself in 1 Timothy as the chief of sinners, yet he could say that he also, in 1 Corinthians 11, right, he says, imitate me just as I imitate Christ. We need examples like Paul, but we don't need to put our faith and trust in man, like hypocritically. Paul wasn't so proud to think that he was the only one that could be such an example, right? He told the Philippians to note those who walk in the way he spoke of, and he noted that the Philippians had us as a pattern, right? So look to those in church that have that godly pattern and look to them as example. If we're going to successfully run the race, church, with faith and endurance and finish the course and the ministry that we receive from the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to learn how to do less, to focus more. If you look at 2 Timothy 2:4, it says a soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. Church, we need to do less. And I don't mean working less hours or doing less intense work. I mean doing fewer things more effectively so we can focus. We tend to think unsuccessful people are unsuccessful because they sit around and they do nothing. But it's often the opposite reason. They take on far too much, all sorts of projects. And what happens is they never bring any of them to fruition. We lose focus because we're doing too much. And doing too much, it's not a time problem. It's a distraction problem. You see, when Martha, right, Mary's sister, was so busy doing this and that, Jesus said that her many things were making her anxious and troubled. And only one thing is necessary. Mary chose the good portion. And Paul says one thing too, right? Our days are as long as God designed them to be. And we have as many days as God gives to us. Each of us have God-given gifts that differ according to the grace that he's given to us. We have weaknesses that God has assigned to us so that Christ's power would be shown uniquely through each of us. That means each of us has God's supply of time, has God's supply of capacity for God's call on our lives. And what we need is to remain clear on the calling and exercise that Christ has for us. And so how do we stay focused? Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. God designed us to be conformed to whatever it is we admire, our passions. When it comes to time, we invest it in the things that we believe will help us become what we want to be. Doing too many things can be an indicator that worldly passions are growing and beginning to choke out our passion for God and his kingdom. Any time that we're investing that isn't helping to conform us to the image of Jesus is conforming us to some kind of worldly image. And that means we have some laying aside to do, church. That means we have some focusing to do. We must give focused time to what we want to be transformed into. All our experiences bear this out. Just like when you exercise routinely, you develop muscle, we need to develop healthy habits. When it comes to being transformed to the likeness of Christ, sharing his loves and longings, there's no shortcut. Transformation occurs when we concentrate, when we meditate upon God, our mind is renewed through a frequent meditation and concentration and listening to Jesus in his word. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who in the Spirit we pursue transformation by focusing on the person, promises, and mission of Jesus Christ." We should test everything, church, that demands our attention by asking the questions why. We shouldn't just take something, a new project on. We need to test it against what we want to become. So we have to ask ourselves, why should I do this? Why now? What is it promising me? What will it accomplish for the kingdom? Will it deter my focus on my primary calling? Why does this feel so emotionally compelling to do? The goal is becoming adept at this through constant practice, so that all the distractions can be resisted. Do fewer things and do them more effectively. We must say no to distractions. And it sounds wonderful, you know, when we feel distracted. But the problem is that we generally are generally more distracted by things we desire than things we don't. The battle is saying no to the distractions when we want to be distracted. So be prepared, church. When you resolve to resist the worldly desires, the enemy wants to keep you distracted. He doesn't want you thinking about the deep realities, the deep desires that result in soul transformation, kingdom advancing work. So he will encourage you to chase one attractive impulse after the other in the hopes of minimizing your impact for good. Distractions will come, sin will be alluring, but we must not lose our sight of our focus. Church, stay focused on Christ. Stay focused on the prize and stay focused on others. Let's pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're speaking so clear to us, Lord. I thank you for your grace and for your mercies that are new every single day. God, we thank you for your Spirit that tugs at our heart. Lord, if there is anything in our lives that is distracting us from giving you our full attention, God, I pray that we would let the scriptures take root, that this passage in Philippians 3 that Paul is exhorting to us from would take root, God. I pray that we would stay focused on you, that we would stay focused on the prize, the upward call, God, that we would stay focused on others, that we would have unity amongst the brothers and sisters of the body of Christ. Lord, we pray that this would take root and that you would change lives by the power of your gospel tonight. God, because it is your gospel and your gospel alone that can change the hearts of men. God, if we've been unfaithful to you in devoting our time to you, in prioritizing our time to you, I pray that we would come to you in repentance, God, that there would be a renewal of our mind, that we would walk towards you in obedience, in service, and that we would look to our brothers and sisters in Christ who are leading by example, like Paul leads by example, and emulate that, Lord. I pray that this calling would resound in us. Help us to run the race, God. Help us to know our calling in you and run the race. I pray that we wouldn't be distracted by the world, so caught up in the materialism of this world. God, I pray that you would be glorified and that you would be exalted tonight in all these things. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thanks for listening. We hope that you are blessed by the sermon today. If you would like to learn about the gospel or know more about our church, please visit pluslifepeople.com. Remember to subscribe for more content. Until next time, stay blessed.